Steps 1 to 9. Look at the power we're building. Step 1, there is no power. We die. Step 2, we know there's power out there. We see it working in others. Step 3, we make a decision to go look for the power. Step 4 and 5, we figure out what blocks us from power, what gives us access to power. Step 6 and 7, we get right with the power for change. Steps 8 and 9, we take these spiritual principles, make reparations to our past, and we're rocketed into this fourth dimension of existence. Now, the question is, how do we stay here? How do we grow in effectiveness and understanding? And that is what step 10 is all about. Now, step 10 at the top of page 25 says, we continue to take personal inventory. This is a process, not an event. When we were wrong, we promptly, we quickly, fast admitted it. So a note you can make at the top of page step 10, check yourself before you wreck yourself. I love that. That's what I do daily. I better check myself before I wreck myself. Step 10 suggests we continue to take personal inventory, continue to set right new mistakes as we go along. Are you willing to do this? We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. Are you willing to do this? Now, here's the thing. We get our prospect through step 9. They map it out. They're executing their 8s and 9s. But we don't cut them loose for a while. We immediately get them into step 10 so that they're keeping today clean and not adding to their past, as it says here. We're cleaning up the past while we're living in step 10. And look at the number of steps we're working in one paragraph of text. Step 4, when we continue to take personal inventory. Step 9, when we look at cleaning up our past. And we've entered the world of the spirit. Some of you may be already experiencing that right now. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. Remember, it's a process, not an event. And it should continue for our lifetime. Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I meet a lot of sprinters, and they're not around anymore. This is a marathon program for life. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Those are your step 4 character defects. When they crop up, what do? We ask God at once to remove them. That's steps 3 and 7. We discuss them with someone immediately, either a properly appointed authority or a big book sponsor. There's your step 5. And make amends, steps 8 and 9, quickly if we've harmed anyone. And then we resolutely turn our thoughts, resolutely, no half measures, to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And that means less paperwork and less amends. And I don't know about you, but I don't like doing paperwork. So I try to live my day as loving and tolerant as I possibly can be. Now, step 10 promises. This is the this is a spiritual epistemology. How do you know you're having a spiritual experience? Well, this next paragraph describes what it's like to live in step 10, to be rocketed into this fourth dimension. We cease fighting anything or anyone, even our addictive behavior. Now, most programs say we avoid people, places, and things, but our instructions say we cease fighting it. We're in that position of neutrality. For by this time, sanity will have returned. There's our step 2 promise fulfilled, sanity. We're seldom interested in liquor, drugs, acting out behavior. If tempted, we recoil from it like a hot flame. The thought of polluting this temple is unthinkable. I think of my body like an ark or a temple, and I try to feed it with good foods. I don't smoke. I try to keep the temple clean so I can grow that divine presence. And the thought of polluting it with alcohol or drugs is just like, ugh, it's unthinkable. I recoil from it like a hot flame, and I react sanely and normally and find that this has happened automatically. There was never a choice. When I was untreated, there was never a choice. I was always compelled to drink, use, or act out. And in sobriety, in my relationship with this power, I still don't have a choice because I wake up and I have no desire to do it. Or I'm able to easily control that desire. And we'll see that our new attitude towards drugs or liquor or obsessive compulsive behavior has been given to us without any thought or effort. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. We're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. It's like being in the eye of the storm. You ever been in a hurricane? If you're in the eye, it's clear, beautiful, calm skies. Even though you got hundreds of mile an hour destructive winds all around you, if you're in the eye, you're safe and protected. I have a shit show that goes on in life from time to time, but I don't get caught up in it. I'm safe and protected. I'm centered. I'm in that neutrality. Centered with God. I'm protected by that divine consciousness that allows me to proact rather than react. I've not even sworn off and said the problem has been removed by this divine consciousness. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky. Caveat, big shotism kills us. A lot of people think when they get involved in the program, they become big shots. You know, I remind myself the best I can ever be is this little minnow in a dirty puddle. There's no glory in it for me. I try to be helpful. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, I love the accolades that people give to me from time to time, but I don't do it for that reason. I'm making amends and making reparations for the damage I've done and trying to be helpful and being one of God's servants in life. And I keep it humble. That's why I share my inventories with you. That's why I put the pen to paper a lot. It keeps me in that position of humility. Big shotism kills a lot of addicts. All of a sudden, they start buying their own press. And then the next thing you know, they're relapsing or, you know, resting on their laurels. This is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. We do that through steps. So here's the note to make at the end of step 10. Be mindful throughout your day. Be mindful throughout your day. You execute your day after your step 3 meditation. So be mindful throughout the day. And ask yourself, am I living in column 4 or column 5? Am I living in power or am I living in no power? Am I living my way or God's way, right? Am I living in column 4 or column 5? Remember to correct your course. Throughout my day, I drift back into column 4, get caught up in Cameron's little plans and design. Do you know when a jet takes off from Toronto Pearson Airport and flies to LA, that's a 5-hour flight. And you may not know this, but during that 5-hour flight, the plane is off course 95% of the time. Yet it still manages to arrive in LA in 5 hours, given a, you know, a tailwind or a headwind. How is that possible? It's because the co-pilot and the pilot are always conferring with one another, checking their gauges, conferring with ground crews, always course correcting. That's the way I execute my program. I'm always course correcting. Am I in column 4? That's a bad place for me to be. It's futile, fatal, destructive. And I course correct back into column 5. And I have a process, a design for living that allows me to do that. So remember to correct your course. Now on page 26, you can print these off your workbook. This is a weekly program of action. I have 3 levels of handling my inventory during the day. Now, sometimes I can just brush it off. I realize, oh, that's an irritable thought, or that's a, you know, a hateful thought. I recognize it. I brush it off, and it's done with. That's all I need to do. So the first level is a brush off. But sometimes a thought or something will come up, and it's a little more entrenched. Now I need to pause and pray and meditate. And then I get rid of it, course correct. Sometimes it gets under my skin and I've done damage and I'm angry and I can't let it go. Then I put pen to paper and I discuss it with someone. So those are the ways I handle my inventory. Sometimes I can brush it off. Sometimes I need to pause and pray. And sometimes I need to put pen to paper and discuss it. And that's how I approach my daily program of action so that I can arrive with God at the end of every day. When I do my step 7 prayer and meditation review, I realize I've been living God's way throughout my day. And there's a tremendous paycheck that goes with that. The first one being easily able to control my desire to drink, use, or act out.